Hello, and welcome to the Roundhouse Podcast with Paul Sullentrop of Wichita State University Strategic Communication. We're going to continue our 2013 Final Four remembrances. Today, we have Nick Wiggins and Dimitri Williams. They join us for the reunion celebration. They, many others, are back for that, for the Aftershocks games in the basketball tournament at Koch Arena. Nick Wiggins was a junior on that 2012-2013 team. He averaged 4.9 points, made 41.9% of his three-pointers. He had a season high of 18 points and a win at Drake, had other memorable moments that we will get to. Dimitri Williams was a senior on that team. He started 26 games for the Shockers, averaged 7.4 points. He had 44 steals, second most on that team, and his 87 assists were third. Dimitri scored a season-high 18 points in a win over DePaul, also had 18 in a loss to Creighton. So let's start, gentlemen, with a 10-year update. Dimitri, you're the head boys basketball coach at Newton High. Tell fans how things are going for you.
Yes, that is correct, Paul. I just finished up with my first year at Newton High School, coaching head varsity boys basketball coach. It was fun. I learned a lot. Hanging around all the guys, the young guys, getting to know the community, the culture, trying to instill my culture. It was challenges as well, and just overall time for me to grow as a coach, first year time head coach, and learn from all the great coaches that was in the league. They are great mentors, great people to respect and, you know, pretty much just emulate and soak up all the knowledge for my first year. So I enjoyed it. Looking forward to the next season, getting my young guys in the gym, working hard, ready to take on more responsibilities, things of that nature. But it's very exciting and humbling to be able to have this opportunity.
Nick, you're playing professionally. Update people on where you are.
Last year, I played in the Middle East. I was actually in a league that traveled throughout the Middle East. We played in Iraq, Lebanon, Syria, places of that nature. But having a great experience over there, just, you know, continue to play at a high level. It's a blessing to still be playing basketball, going into my 10th year professionally now. So just loving the grind, man. The grind is what keeps me going. Just the love for the game, man.
So out of all your travels, where's the most interesting country? Do you have a favorite city, favorite place that you've been?
I like New Taipei. Okay. Taiwan, it was nice.
That was quick. You know, you've been a lot of places.
I've been a lot of places. He said a culture shock where it was different. So okay. New Taipei was definitely different. Just the food and just the way that they embrace you. You know, they love their basketball over there in Asia. Also, another place would be Brazil. I had a great experience in Brazil playing professional basketball out there. Really good league in the MBB. 7-month league. It was a grind. I probably had one of my best pro seasons out there, playing for Baru Basket. Just keeping it going, man.
I always hear crazy stories about crowds, fans, when you play overseas. Do you have a crazy crowd story for us?
Pretty crazy. I mean, it's kind of crazy in Asia, just the basketball culture, stuff like that. So you'll see a whole bunch of different stuff over there, just kind of similar to Europe, you know, like fireworks, kind of like fires starting in the crowd and stuff like that. So just different stuff that kind of like when you're playing, it'll catch your attention quick. But you just kind of as you're playing there over time, you just know that that's just the culture. And they just have, you know, they're really fired up during the basketball games and stuff like that. So it was fun and different to see that, I would say.
So a lot of your teammates are back in town for the reunion. You'll be introduced. We're recording this Friday afternoon, Friday night, during the Aftershocks game. You got a reunion Saturday night at Mark Arts. Which teammate is going to kind of captain the ship, lead the way, telling the funny stories, doing impersonations of the coaching staff? Who's gonna be the ringleader?
I would say first, who's all coming? Like, do we have the exact...
I think I've got a pretty good idea, although, without saying with total confidence, I know Ron Baker, Zach Bush, I'm told Fred Van Vliet will be here. I know we're expecting that. Not sure about DeKale. I think he's told people we're planning on hoping him.
Shadrack.
DeKale gave you his word.
I stand on that.
Okay, that would be excellent. People would really like to see DeKale. Shadrack, LaFeel, you two. I think when I had Ron on earlier, he said 9.
Okay.
Klee Anthony.
Yes, he gets in later tonight.
Okay, yeah. I talked to Hime earlier this week. He's not able to come, and I don't think Carl Hall is coming. So it will be a pretty good representation, I think at least nine or so.
Okay. So as far as the seniors, it's just probably Dimitri Williams in the house. We might get an unexpected guest out of the other seniors. We might. We're going to hold out just a little bit, but he might show up as well. So.
Okay.
Fans, be ready for that.
So who's going to lead things? Who's going to tell the stories?
If I don't have the seniors.
I feel like it would be the seniors to tell the stories for sure. Baker, Zach Bush. My memory's strong. I know a lot of the stories, but I don't know if they want me to tell them.
I think 10 years later, there are no restrictions anymore. You can tell all those stories.
And I think Fred, you know, he got some big shoes.
Fred got some stories. Klee definitely got some stories,
too.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I've heard Fred is pretty good in those circumstances. I'm sure his voice will be heard. Do you ever go back and watch those games, hop on YouTube, watch highlights from the 2013 NCAA tournament?
All the time, man. Probably did it maybe 3 or 4 months ago just to see myself hitting that three in the corner. Pretty dope, man.
Good memory. Dimitri, how about you? Do you ever click on for that stuff?
Yes. To answer the question, yes, I definitely. Not even just the Final Four run. A lot of my years playing at Wichita State, just being under a great coach, being able to dissect a few things so I can, you know, learn and better myself as a coach at Newton High School. So I definitely do turn back the clock and watch
it. Sure. And it's fun to do that. I feel like it's, you know, definitely beneficial too, just to go back and kind of see your history, see where you came from. You know what I mean? Just like, you know, how your basketball journey is really important to remember. You know what I mean? You can't forget your journey and the steps where you took to where you're going. So,
sure. Those would be great memories. All right. I've had some success, some fun playing trivia with people during these podcasts to kind of get the memories rolling. So let's go here. Who did the Shockers defeat to win the Cancun Challenge? Who did Wichita State beat in the championship game in Mexico?
Was it a Pac-10 or Pac-12 team? Can you give me that?
It was not a Pac-10 or a Pac-12 team.
I want to say we beat DePaul in
the second game.
To go to the finals.
I got like Cancun, like Iowa or something in my head.
Ding, ding, ding. Iowa. Okay. Very good. Wichita State defeated Iowa 75-63. Who did Wichita State beat in the Sweet 16 game, first game in Los Angeles?
Oh, first game?
LaSalle.
Very good. All right. LaSalle. Sometimes that's a game that gets overlooked in that run.
Played against my boy Ramon.
How many shots did Ahime Arupe block against Southern Illinois at Coke Arena during the regular season?
We won that game, right?
Yes.
Yeah, we didn't lose at home.
Yeah.
We didn't lose at home.
Sure. Lost the game at Carbondale on that on the goaltending call.
That was at home?
No, that was on the road at Carbondale, at SIU. At home, he had a big game with block shots. Do you remember how many he blocked?
I'm going to go with it. I'm going to go with five.
Ooh. Oh.
Higher?
He almost had 10, probably. I'll say nine.
Dimitri, wow. I think, is 3 for 3 on this.
Wow.
Okay, let's go back to the Staples Center.
He was a beast that game.
That's different.
He was. Blocks. He played up to his potential for sure.
Back to Los Angeles, Staples Center. Which NBA team's locker room was assigned to the Shockers? This was a thing. Maybe not with you two, but among certain members of the team, this mattered.
I mean, I'm from Las Vegas. We was talking about being in the Lakers locker room, and I know we didn't get that one. And that was a big talk just because in Staples Center, you want to be in the Lakers locker room. Mm-hmm. But,
right, you got the Clippers.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, the Clippers. Okay.
Clippers locker room, and I'm told people were disappointed. Some people wanted to be. They wanted to be in Kobe Bryant's locker room, and they were not. Okay, who was Coach Greg Marshall describing? Which Shocker? Who was Coach Greg Marshall describing when he said he parachuted out of the upper concourse for that dunk?
Tekel Cotton.
Close.
Was it an away team or?
It was a Shocker. He was describing one of the Shockers who dunked impressively.
In game dunk.
In game dunk. Follow shot.
It got to be Klee.
Yeah. And it's not Clay?
Nick Wiggins.
Oh, whoa.
It was the Nick Wiggins follow dunk against Southern Mississippi.
At the interest.
Oh, okay.
Put back dunk. I remember that.
That's what he said. Nick parachuted out of the upper concourse for that dunk. Okay. Follow dunk against Southern Mississippi downtown.
Back.
Big basket. Basket gave the Shockers a 53-51 lead in a game they won 59-51. So that was one of those highlights of the season. All right, big picture. Describe that team, the 2013 Shockers. What made that group go, Nick?
Grit. We wanted it, man. And, you know, we're unselfish. That's probably the main thing about that team that I tell all my friends, tell a lot of family, that, you know, all guys wanted the better for each guy. And, you know, we're just all working together, one common goal, which was to win. Still sucks that we didn't win the whole thing. I believe we had the team to do it.
Had Louisville on the ropes. Dimitric, how do you describe that team? What made it successful?
I feel like it's hard to, like, really just describe it real quick.
Yeah, it's not one thing.
I mean, that season, I mean, you covered us. When we came off of Joe Ragland, Teray Murray, David Cowles, Garrett Studs, Ben Smith, Gabe Blair, like that generation before, like, put in the work, the grind. And that season, me being a returner, starter, Carl playing good minutes, been with Garrett and stuff, not really getting what he deserves, but waiting his turn. And we didn't have many players that played in a program that you can just be like, oh, that team's going to be first in the Missouri Valley. And I think we was, what, picked fourth or
something
sixth.
Like that, yes.
So when I described that season to people, I pretty much explained to them that it was a lot of, like, sacrifice. Like, definitely. To me, sacrifice is the described from the beginning to the end, because coming into the season, injuries was already piling up off of the previous season of making it finally to the NCAA tournament. So as soon as we came into the season, like, are we going to have him? I was down. Like, it was just a lot of stuff and being like, oh, everybody's new. So we was able to overcome that real quick, start the season off being undefeated, winning that first preseason. It kind of just, like, solidified us as, like, okay, they're going to be able to keep up with what we already built the right. years before. So, and then, you know, during the season, more people got hurt. So then at one period of time, coach had a brand new team. We started the season out knowing what the personnel was going to be, knowing how the rotation was going to be. And coach had to adjust mid-season with different people in the starting lineup, people with different roles as far as more responsibilities. And we had a hiccup in the middle of the season, And it was a lot of come to Jesus meetings and a lot of just, you know, showing us that we are capable of coming out of this struggle that we are currently in, and just empowering and inspiring, to, you know, us, my teammates, that anything is possible, pretty much. Like, it's not over.
Definitely.
And I think Ahime said it a previous podcast before our interview that Coach Marshall's always said the cavalry's coming. So, like, as soon as, you know, we get closer to the Missouri Valley Conference, more people are going to come off of injury reserve, and it's just going to be just a big old, just, you know, a tsunami coming your way with people that you don't even...
It's a lot of ups and downs. You got to deal with it. So guys got to step up and, you know, just, like, kind of next guy up kind of mentality.
So to refresh people's memories, Evan Wessel played 8 games and then got hurt. He was out. Ron Baker missed, I think, 18 games, big chunk of the regular season. Carl Hall missed several games. Ahime missed a few games.
Ron had right in his
foot. Yeah, I think so. So the injuries were definitely a part of that season.
Yeah.
So, Dimitric, you played a pivotal role in what I think people will say was maybe was the wackiest game of the season. 68-67 win at Illinois State. So, and your foul with 40 seconds to play started the crazy sequence that ultimately saw the Shockers rally from down 67-60. So during that play, Illinois State's Jackie Carmile kicked to Cale Cotton during a rebound. Shockers got 2 free throws that started their 8-0 run. And then, Dimitric, you made a 3-pointer with 28 seconds to play to cut the lead to 67-65. Memories of that game.
That was what? It's going to be the fourth loss in a row? Because that was the time where it was a three-game losing
streak. That's when we were kind of going through our ups and downs.
Yeah. You had played two. You had lost three in a row and then won two.
Okay,
so
okay.
The three-game losing streak was definitely fresh in the memory at that point.
Okay. So we was
and that was our rival, too.
Yes.
Illinois State, yeah. I remember. Oh. It was a coaching rivalry, players rivalry. Everything. It was everything. Oh, yeah, it was like it was when they come here, when we go there.
And this is, like, exclusive, like,
right.
Locker room, like, hallway scene, like,
man,
we can't get.
I don't know if everybody. I don't know if everybody knows about that. Right. Wichita State, but, Illinois State,
but the crowd is fun, though. I will say that as a player, being in those type of environments, obviously everything, you know, stay professional. We didn't have to do certain things to, you know, make a bad name or bad rep, but the intensity, the fireness, I think every fan player loves those type of rivalries, loves those type of like energy, knowing that the players are playing hard for their love of the game.
Yeah.
So I, for me as a former player, I love those type of environments. So even though the crowd, everything's against us, but I love those type of scenes, those type of atmospheres. And
they called us the Road Warriors for a reason, man.
Well, so that game was tough. We had to make big shots down the stretch. One from probably two from Klee, one from me, one from Tekel or Malcolm, free throws, mm-hmm. something like that. And it was like we had to make them. If we would have missed any shot, turned the ball over, allowed them to score, we would have lost that game. But, you know, the experience, the basketball IQ, that's one thing I would say about that team. It was a lot of smart basketball players.
Yeah.
Like, we had, you know, athleticism and speed and things of that nature. Obviously, when we got to the bigger conferences, they just had God-given ability. But we held our own against a lot of teams. But we were very smart. Like, we had, you know, the fundamentals, just everything down pat to be able to be successful. And obviously, it started from the head macho, so...
Klee made the three-pointer, I believe, from the top of the key that ended up winning that game. The Shockers 8 points in 40 seconds to pull off one of the season's most important victories. And the locker room scene that I think you're referencing, and we talked about it on previous podcasts with Mike Kennedy, Dan Muller, and Greg Marshall, had a rivalry, as you said, and they exchanged some... they disagreed about something, exchanged some withering glances, and it was one of the memorable scenes from that rivalry. We mentioned the ups and downs, the injuries, and that's one of the reasons why this team is interesting, because it did go through some low points. Finished second in the Missouri Valley Conference behind Creighton, lost a couple games late in the season. What turned things around in March, Nick? What's your memory about what things got going once tournament play?
Just rallying behind each other, man. Rallying behind each other, believing in one another, and just not letting the season kind of go to waste. I feel like, you know, from the day we all stepped together on this campus, the day I stepped here, because I was joining what they had already kind of built, right? WSU's been a tournament team that competes well in the NCAA tournament. So just with us stepping in, the new guys are... The juniors that came in, me, CJ, Klee, we were just trying to, you know, give what we could to the team, whatever we could, as much as we can.
And did that. You guys did that.
We were a really deep team.
Everybody contributed.
And we had a great coach, man. We had a great coach. I don't feel like, you know, we turned that season around. Not saying that we were headed down a bad hill. Like you said, the season was a bunch of ups and downs. That's how the season is, injuries and stuff like that. But... You know, without Coach Marshall, I don't think we're that team. He gave us our mindset, you know, just our attitude on the road, at home, protecting home court. I don't think another coach would have, like I said, I don't think another coach would have helped us get to that point. So he was definitely a huge part of our success.
Several of your teammates have mentioned a video session late in the season when things maybe weren't going great. Chris Jans, they in one telling of it, put it together, video clips of the team when you were playing really well to show you what you were doing, body language, all that kind of stuff. And they've mentioned that as being really helpful. Do either of you recall this video?
Yes, I would say that played a big part as well, definitely. Being able to see how we was, you know, gelling, the chemistry, the toughness, yeah, we were just playing a high level of basketball at that time. So it was great to look at that.
Yeah, so those Shockers, they went 11-1 in the non-conference, and then some of the injuries hit a little bit, and then you're reordering on the fly. Shockers went 12-6 in the Missouri Valley Conference, but then once tournament play started, went 6-2 to finish things out. So that speaks to the up and downs, and then really hitting their stride in March. So this is the third podcast I've done talking about the Final Four, and then you start worrying about, well, did we talk about this person enough? And one guy that I'm not sure we've talked about enough is Carl Hall. So I will give you to the floor to describe Carl Hall. He was a 6'7", 6'8", just a beast on the backboards, played center, played forward for the Shockers. Tell us about Carl Hall's contribution to this team to make sure we're not overlooking him.
I'll go first because I know you got a little more. Yeah, that's your guy. So, man, my experience with Carl, played with him for one season. Animal, dog, beast. Those are three words that you could just describe him by. One of the best bigs I've ever played with. He's the best sit-in big I've ever played with in my life. If you know basketball terminology, you know what that is. Man, just a hard worker, man. Sets the example every day. As a senior, him and Dimitri, me coming as a junior, coming from junior college, it was important for me to see, older guys or just seniors, doing things the right way, carrying themselves by example. Carl was definitely one of those guys. And, always try to, whenever I see him, whenever I talk to him, it's always a good vibe. He's always like my big vet, you know what I mean? He'll always be that to me. And, yeah, man, he was a great player for us, man. Great player for us.
Dimitri, memories of Carl Hall and what he contributed.
Carl already had to, battle with heart issues. Remember that? Like,
he's a warrior.
Right.
He's a warrior, man.
Things didn't come easy for him. So, he worked his tail off. He gave it his all, literally his all. He would give his heart for it. So, I just know, like you said, a dog, and Coach Marshall had a thing called Junkyard Dog. Like, you could give it to him probably every time. Like, he's a Dennis Roebling getting the boards and when you need it, he's going to get you a bucket.
Doesn't need a touch. Score. Doesn't need a play call. He'll go and get it off the glass. Dirty play, diving on the floor. Like you said, 6'8", probably one of the biggest guys on the floor both nights. Doesn't care to get his hands dirty.
Setting the example.
Communicator. Big communicator. And he also went to junior college, too, so I looked up to him for that, too.
Seemed to save some of his best efforts for Creighton. He really played well against the Blue Jays.
They used to juice him up for that.
What?
Blame Coach Jans for that.
Yeah. Coach Jans was in his ear for that game.
Man. You got a handful over there. Yeah. McDermott is going to, he's going to step up to the plate, accept the challenge. Or
you're going to lay down.
We all in here telling you, you're going to get cooked tonight. didn't want that.
Basically. He was up to the challenge every
but he
time.
He got us.
Yeah.
He got us once.
Yep, he got us. You get the ball every damn time. You better do something.
Yeah, because that was at home, right? It was at their place where he got us for like 40 or...
Yes, last game of the regular season. Those were talented Creighton teams, and that was a big part of the Shockers back then, the rivalry with Wichita State.
And it was leaving the next year, right?
Yes.
So they, it stung. That did sting. Because it was okay, they left the conference after beating us. That's a hard one to get over.
Highlight of the 2013 season, is there one that sticks out, flashes into your mind when people bring that up?
Do you have a beginning, middle, and end? Or is it just one memory you have?
I'm here trying to think of the memory.
Mm.
Because
it's a couple for me.
Okay.
Because the start of the season, we had where we pretty much had to figure out and gel and build the chemistry from the summer. And we had situations happen during our workouts to test our, togetherness. And that, I think that, made our season start off faster. as far as building the chemistry, the trust, and not waiting until the season start and figuring out how people play. We more so dove into people's personality and character. Mm-hmm. So we did that from the beginning. And I think that was the tone setter for the season. And then, you know, we had the other stuff after. So I will always just bring up the beginning just because we was, like, diving into, like, people, character, and, right. like, you know, really understanding who I'm, like, who going to war with. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
For me, we already spoke about it, too. The highlight and the moment of the season for me was when we lost that third game in a row, bro. Mm-hmm. That was the highlight for me. That's kind of what stands out the most because that was our turnaround point. That's kind of where our whole team mindset shifted, you know.
Like being tested and seeing how you bounce back.
Yeah, you know, because it was everything. It was refs. It was, you know what I mean? Like, right. you know, I'm not the type of player to blame refs. But, you know, it was kind of the thing where Marshall was sending clips in of certain referees not giving us certain calls.
Ball when,
it was everything. Shit just wasn't rolling in our favor, bro.
It was not rolling in our favor.
So,
basketball got
Yeah, man, definitely just that moment during the season when we were kind of on edge. I feel like that showed our true character, man. And without that moment happening, I don't feel like we get to where we got, which was the Final Four.
So that was late January, early February, lost at home to Indiana State, lost on the road to Northern Iowa, and then the goaltending game, lost 64-62 at Southern Illinois.
I remember that.
And then bounced back from that to win five in a row, so you got things righted to a pretty good degree then before a loss at Evansville at home and at Creighton. Mm. It's so interesting.
Seeing I hurt. Mm-hmm. But it meant a lot mm-hmm. to us as seniors. You got Ahime coming from overseas.
Yeah, nah, for sure.
Making it to the, you know what I mean? Like, for sure. To the pinnacle, to the top of graduating and doing stuff. So that's a lot of emotion from being proud of himself and family. Right. Carl Hall, all the stuff he had to go through, like you said, JUCO, hard, not even knowing if he's going to still play basketball. Like,
yeah, bro.
It was a lot. It meant a lot to him to
literally
get to the
finish. Literally wore his heart on his sleeve on the court. Carl left
Most
it out
definitely.
There.
Most definitely. And then Malcolm, he was what? Uncle Drew, like Kyrie, like he's that old. That's how he felt. Like he was the oldest one, maturest one. I mean, like he was our point guard. He was the one that set the tone. Most definitely. And his struggle meant a lot getting to the... Because he went to, what, two JUCOs? I think he went to two. Our prep school and JUCO. Like, it was a long road. And then, you know, me, last senior, just, you know, making it out, being the first, you know, kid in my family to go to college. And, you know, it was just a proud moment for us as all seniors. And I think it was just a lot of emotions again. And I think after that, didn't they start doing it, like, after... the game, like Marshall switched it.
Yes, you're exactly right.
Year,
yeah, he never.
Was like, we can't do that.
He didn't recover from. He did not recover from that. And so senior night ceremonies went to after the game, after the 2013 game. Let's wrap it up with the Final Four. And the moment I'm interested in is that open practice session, walking out into the Georgia Dome. There's thousands of fans there. What was that experience like?
Great experience, man. You're on the top basketball stage in the world. The top, to me, tournament style stage of basketball in the world. You know, the tournaments, there's nothing like it. You know, it's memories forever. And you just, you know, you feel accomplished when you've made it to that point. Obviously, there's still more work to do. But just to get there, being one of the last four teams standing, it was a special moment that, you know, you carry with you for the rest of your life.
Sure. Dimitric, how about you? What do you remember about that weekend in Atlanta?
Man, a lot of family in town trying to figure out tickets. It was kind of stressful at first. Like,
I wasn't worried about none of that though. Look.
I know, like put it. Yeah,
y'all here, y'all here. Right.
Now we had coaches to help us too, but yeah. I mean, just I would say everything from. You know, seeing all the celebrities there, people, good role models, mentors that you probably wouldn't be able to see in your life because you won't be in the same room as them. But being able to experience the dinners that we had, the big dinner with all the coaches, all the teams, like the speakers they had, just the whole thing. Getting escorted to the games, to the hotel.
We were the show, man, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's just a great feeling to have, knowing that you, you know, put a lot of work in, a lot of dedication, motivation, discipline to get to that point, and then to see how you was treated and celebrated in a sense. Like, yeah, it was good. It was a great memory that I'll probably never forget at all. And that's why I love that we're doing this, everybody, you know, coming back, kind of reuniting. And, you know, good to see all the guys and how they're moving forward as well. So, yeah,
these are a great one. Definitely an experience you should be happy to reunite and talk about as often as possible. Nick Wiggins and Demetric Williams, two members of the 2013 Final Four Shockers. Thanks for your time, guys.
Yeah, appreciate you having us.
Thank you, Paul. You keep up the great work. You know, you basically...
you with us the whole ride, man.
Right. So, you know, you got great stories, too, from behind the scenes and, you know, being able to, you know, see that journey and that ride go. So we thank you for your stories and putting it out there for us as well, man. So much respect.
It was a lot of fun. Yeah, everybody's happy to have the Shockers back. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Roundhouse Podcast, courtesy of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. We encourage you to rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can find more Roundhouse content at GoShockers.com.
It's over! It is over! Ladies and gentlemen, say it slowly and savor it. Wichita State is going to the Final Four for the first time in 48 years.
Unbelievable. What a scene, folks. The Shocker fans are just going crazy in the stands.
Just maybe the greatest win in the history of Wichita State basketball.